RadioArchives.com presents G8 and His Battle Aces magazine from December 1943. Wings of the Iron Claw, the 107th adventure of G8 and His Battle Aces, as told by G8 to Robert J. Hogan. Read by Nick Santamaria. Out of war-torn skies of World War I flies G8 and His Battle Aces. The greatest combat pilot of that hellish conflict, G8's true name was stricken from all official records so that he could fight the most evil minions of the German Kaiser without the restrictions of the laws of war. Piloting a souped-up SPAD airplane and backed by his wingmen, Bull Martin and Nippy Weston, G8 blazed his name across weird battle skies history never recorded. Mad scientists, zombies, werewolves, vampires. These were the unholy allies of Imperial Germany, whom G8 engaged over the blood-soaked trenches of the war to end all wars, in frenzied dogfights straight out of hell. And now, G8 and His Battle Aces' thrilling adventure, The Wings of the Iron Claw.
Chapter 1. Herr Gulon's Hate. His voice came in a rasping croak, as though his throat were only part human and the other part was frog.
I have studied victory and control by terror. Most outstanding was my visit to Japan. There, mein Herren, is the greatest example of control through fear and terror. In the Mashi prison, I saw...
One moment, Herr Gulon,
the Hun general on his left interrupted. The crippled beast man shot an enraged glance at the inquiring general. His sunken, bloodshot eyes became horribly fierce and cruel.
I assume that your study of terror began with your hatred for a certain American spy,
the general suggested.
I refer to the man known as G8.
At the mention of that name, the hatred in the ghastly face increased tenfold. His croaking voice became a snarl, more than ever like the sound that an animal might make.
You see in me, mein Herren, one to frighten strong men at sight. You know my story, perhaps. This cursed Verdammter Hund, G8, shot me down in flames, and then, in a hospital of the Americana swine, I was purposely made ghastly, as I am now.
Another German general at the other side of the table asked,
You are sure of that? You are certain that the American doctors made you a cripple on purpose?
It could not have been the accident and the flames that disfigured and crippled you. You have proof?
Proof?
The maniac screamed.
You want proof? Then look at me. Would anyone believe that I could live in such a condition unless I were made so on the operating table? Look at my left leg, twisted and shorter than the other. Look upon my face, if you can. There was not enough skin left, they said, to cover my face, so they drew it tighter. They drew it so tight that I am like a 4,000-year-old mummy, with skin so tight that I cannot close my mouth. Himmel, you want proof? Look what they left me for a mouth, a gaping hole without lips that come together. And look at my left arm. Look at it!
His voice terminated in a shrill cry.
Herr Gulon stopped in his shrieking to pant for breath through the hole which was not a mouth and through two openings in his flat nose that was not a human nose.
See what they left me for an arm? A stump on which I have added my new hand.
He waved his left arm about. At the end of the stub below the elbow was an iron shield that fitted over the stub. Welded to the iron sleeve, or shield, was his new hand. It was a wicked thing, that new hand, a series of three hooks, like the claws of a giant cat. But these glistening, polished iron claws were curved down, so that his movements made gouging gestures. Each of these three metal claws was sharpened on the inside of the curve to a keen razor edge.
With this, he shrilled, I will yet tear the heart out of the Verdammter Hund. He shall know, before he dies, the monster he made.